Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Dave Weiner here. So I was watching one of the political shows recently, and they said something that I had been thinking and hadn't quite figured out exactly how to say, and that was that our president-elect has wasted the period between the election and the inauguration by not trying to pull in support from people who voted for Hillary Clinton. It's an incredible opportunity that really only happens in that period. It's very much like the United States. I'm not sure if it's like other countries, but is that you kind of want to move on after the election. People do. Not just the politicians, the people, more than anything the people do, because by the time the election actually happens, we're completely sick of the political process. I mean, it's basically a competition to throw poison at us, and it just gets, and the poison, the toxicity just builds up in us, and, you know, we look forward to the day when it's over. I remember as this election season was winding down, thinking how much I look forward to it being over, but being aware that if Trump won, even though, like, we didn't expect that was going to happen, but, you know, I'm a programmer, I'm a sports fan, I know that you know, counting your chickens is always really dangerous, and so I tried to avoid making, like, too many assumptions, and so I thought it through, and I thought, oh, God, that's just going to be the beginning. If he wins, and, you know, he did win. That night I took a Xanax and went to sleep and woke up after a good night's sleep and dreaming and did what I've done every morning since, which I'm sure you've done too. It felt great and then realized, oh, that's right, the world sucks. Well, you know, I think that he could have won over a lot of people, or at least gotten a lot of people to just, against their better judgment, relax. And instead, what he did was he kept the tension up. He didn't run a campaign to try to peel off. You know, everybody always thinks in terms of monolithic bases. You know, it's a Trump voter would never go for this. Well, you know, this people used to say that all the time. I go, well, maybe some of them would. You know, you have to think. You know, one victory at a time, you know, a march of 1,000 miles begins with a single step or whatever, something like that. And, well, you know, that would have been a really good time to go on a campaign to try to bring the approval numbers up. That would be the way you would measure success of it. And it was kind of a no-brainer, and it's amazing that he didn't do it. I mean, it says that, you know, he's not a winner, like he likes to say, or he's a salesman, let's put it that way. I guess a salesman mentality is not a marketing mentality. You know, a salesman goes for the close, and when once they close the deal, then they run their victory lap. And this is kind of, you know, the difference between the sales mentality and the marketing mentality. The marketing guy says, well, you know, that's just the beginning. I need to sell you again and again and again, and I need to buy more every time. Because I've got to grow, because I got to bring back growing numbers, or else, you know, I'm going to be replaced with somebody else who says they can do it, right? So he didn't do that. So that's point. That's the first half of the podcast. Missed opportunity, kind of dangerous for the country because we remain incredibly divided, and you know, he hasn't broken over 50%, and that's a big problem. So for him and for us. Now, the other, this is almost, you know, flip a switch, because this story is very different. Let's say I was going to a party. There's a party in Brooklyn. And so, you know, I'm going to the party, and I live in Manhattan. So I have to travel, you know, not that far. I mean, it might take me an hour to get to a party in a certain part of Brooklyn. It might take me a half hour to get to one that was, you know, close into Manhattan. But then there are people who live in the neighborhood of the party and they don't have to travel at all to get there. They just, walk down the street and go in the house and they go to the party. And then there are people who live in San Francisco who want to go to the party, and they would have to get themselves to the San Francisco airport and get on a plane and fly to JFK and get off, and take the subway probably into Manhattan and then go back out into Brooklyn. I mean, what a trip. But they, so the thing is okay, we all get to this party, and does somebody say, well, I can't party with you because you came from Manhattan. You don't come from Brooklyn, which is where I come from. Or I can't party with you because you come from San Francisco. You're kidding. I don't have anything to, you don't know what it's like to live in Brooklyn, so I can't party with you. And that analogy, so that's the way I think about our future. And the problem from the president-elect's standpoint is how to unify the people from up top, from high up, from a position of leadership. But our political system is designed so that the organization, the coming together, the unity, can happen from anywhere. It can come from any direction. It doesn't matter. And the thing is that when things start sinking, as they have been, then there is kind of a silver lining to that. Because as it starts sinking, we start having more in common with more people. Because, okay, let's say you are a Republican. I can't believe the things Republicans have been willing to do, the sacrifices they've been willing to make on behalf of the people of the United States in order for them to gain power. I mean, I just wonder how they think, because, what's the logical extreme of this? Suppose you could get total control by destroying the country. Would you do that? If you would, well, okay, you can't come to the party. You won't come to the party because this is not your party. Our party, and so as things devolve, as they get worse and worse, the people who will feel like coming to the party are going to grow. And you start to see signs of that. For example, the other day, after President-elect Trump said that he felt persecuted the way the Nazis in Germany persecuted people, which was a ridiculous, completely ridiculous idea. And it's hard to imagine even his most, vocal supporters getting that. It's like, how is it like Nazi Germany? I don't see the connection. Maybe you'd want to explain that a little bit because it just doesn't seem, it's crazy. It's crazy talk, and it's very offensive crazy talk, and probably that's why he said it. Because, but he's pushing that button a little bit too early, I would say. But so then you had Lindsey Graham get up and give a talk, an interview with lots of microphones around him. And he goes, this is completely unacceptable. And he said, I can only imagine what we would say if a Democrat had said that, which means his mind is moving to a different place. He's making that comparison because he's reached a point where he will not go below. And so, guess what? Lindsey Graham can come to the fucking party as far as I'm concerned. It's disappointing to me that Lindsey Graham is one of the Republicans that's voting in favor of killing the Affordable Care Act. I will have a hard time partying with him. I will have to come quite a distance to get to his party, or but I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to go there, not because I'm willing to give the guy a blanket, endorsement. I'm not. I will not come live where he lives. I remember the things he said in defense of the Republican strategy when Bush was in power, and I despise the person who was willing to say those kinds of things because they pushed it really far. In terms of cashing in our chips, the United States of America's chips, weakening us as a country, for what was just really, he was not being transparent. And you have to be left guessing Why would an intelligent person be willing to say the things that he was willing to say in defense of things that have no apparent defense? I mean, so you see, we all have to do this. You know, it's not okay to say, well, you know, this is my grievance and not your grievance. You don't get to march with me. I've seen people say that, that the racial lines can't get crossed. Sorry, this is a black protest. This is not a protest that you can participate in because you've never experienced what I've experienced. That's like saying you can't come to my party from Manhattan. And it's not smart politics, folks. It's not a smart thing to do. It may feel somewhat emotionally good to be able to say this to people. Okay, now you get what I've been going through. But that's going to be a hollow victory. That would be like the victory of not voting because you think that all the candidates are the same. Exactly the same kind of mistake. And if you could go back, if you voted that way, let's say you voted for Jill Stein or for the libertarian guy, you know, if you could go back now and change your vote to voting for Hillary Clinton, ask yourself, would you do it? I'm not asking you to tell me whether you would do it. Just ask yourself that question. Would it be, have been worth bending a little bit and holding your nose and voting for somebody who you don't like to avoid the shit that we're going through now? And this is probably going to look like the good old days. I mean, this is, we're still in the calm before the storm. The shit has not yet hit the fan. It's just the fan, the shit is a, it, the dimensions of the impact of the shit on the fan are starting to become a little bit more clear. The immediacy of everything is becoming a bit more clear. I mean, I think you'd have to be crazy if you voted for Jill Stein at this point to not regret it. Seriously, especially if you live in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, or Michigan. Or for that matter, North Carolina or Florida. Or Ohio, even maybe. And I don't doubt that there are a few Trump voters who are starting to get the outlines of the shit hitting the fan and are realizing, well, you know, okay, we scared the shit out of a bunch of liberals. That felt good for a while. Now what? See, this is what this is called living in the adult world, as opposed to being feeling so self-important and not realizing that your vote is just one vote. It's just that. I mean, it's both that in the sense that it's powerful, and also in that it's just one vote. And so you have to start thinking as being part of a bigger thing if you want to not have to deal with the kind of bullshit that we're having to going to have to deal with, because, like I said, it hasn't happened yet, but it looks like it's going to be pretty weird, pretty bad. So, my advice to everybody is lighten up and be more open and stop giving a shit about how anybody got to the party. Just say, it's really great to have you here. Have a beer and let's figure out what the fuck we're going to do. Okay? That's all I have to say. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.